while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose. Okay, so today, on Palm Sunday, it seems fitting to take some time to look at the second part of our motto verse. The Lord is my reason for singing. And we heard it read in Psalms 118, verse 14. And I'd just like to read the synopsis that goes with that. Our motto verse for 2025 reminds us that in the midst of life's uncertainties is God's unbreakable promise to protect and preserve us from fear, doubt, and adversity. True safety isn't found in our circumstances, but in the unshakable refuge of his love. Like a fortress that cannot be breached in him, we always have a reason to sing. So I hope that by the end of our time together today, that you will be able to say with a surety that he is your reason for singing. So in January, Pastor Deji introduced us to our motto verse for the year, and he focused on the first phrase, "The Lord is my strength." He reminded us that this is a personal statement. God is my strength. A declaration of faith and a testimony of God's faithfulness, grounding us, anchoring us, securing us in the times of difficulties and challenge. The Lord, our strength, is available to anyone who chooses to seek it. You don't need to have it all together and sorted to be deserving of God's strength. In fact, when could we ever deserve anything from the Lord other than his wrath? But the Lord gives us his strength, and we can draw on it in times of difficulty. He gives us strength before the victory and strength to go through to see our victory. And as I listened to the sermon, as I prepared for this, it struck me that the Lord prepares us for situations even before we realize it. Pastor Deji said, and I quote, "You are going to face things that you can't do on your own. 2025 will require supernatural strength to endure what life throws at you and still smile." We didn't understand or appreciate at the time what a prophetic word this was for all of our lives. And in this introduction, Pastor JG gave us four tips to help us draw on God's strength. The first one was to spend time in prayer. The second, meditate on God's word. The third, to wait on the Lord. And the fourth, to live in community. Surround ourselves with people who positively influence God's strength in our lives. And so today, as we come to the second phrase, he is my reason for singing. I hope over the next few hours or so. I was just checking if you were listening. Over the next few minutes, we'll be thinking about what is a song, the reason why we sing, and the Father's song. So, what is a song? The Oxford Language Dictionary gives two definitions. The first one is a short poem or other set of words set to music or meant to be sung. And the second definition is the musical phrases uttered by some birds, whales, and insects, typically forming a recognizable and repeated sequence and used chiefly for territorial defense or for attracting mates. Okay, so I don't want you to linger here for too long, but I'd like you to think about a song. And I don't want you to linger there for too long, just in case it gets you in a bit of trouble. But I want you to think about a song that has meaning and significance to you. What made you connect with that song? What made it special for you? What makes it memorable? What makes it stir emotions in you? Whether that be joy, sadness, regret, resolve, confidence. Maybe the song you're thinking about carried you through a difficult time. Maybe it's the song you listen to get through your exams. In my day, it was I Will Survive by Gloria Dana. I don't know what the young people are doing now. Maybe it reminds you of good times with significant people in your life. Maybe it reminds you of an activity or a place. Maybe it represents a particular era or time of your life. Maybe it's the song you heard when you met that special someone. Songs and music are everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, whether you're on the street, you can't escape music, really. And songs are usually birthed out of the songwriter's experience and or response to a situation. So, you know, we have romantic songs, we have songs about heartbreak, we have political songs, communal songs, songs to help us remember facts and details, songs that help us learn different languages, songs of hope and aspiration, spiritual songs, to name just a few. But it seems that there is a song for every situation. The Bible is full of songs, praise, laments, romance, encouragement. And when I was looking at this, there are 185 officially named songs in Scripture. And we often sing songs in church, not realizing we're actually singing the Scriptures. Most songs are recorded in the Psalms, but we have Exodus 15. In fact, you tell me some of the songs that are in the Bible. Can you think of any? Lord is my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. So, yeah, the Psalms, we know that those. Can you think of any outside of the Psalms? Miriam's song, which was when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and they saw how the Lord delivered them and killed Pharaoh's army. She broke out in song. Thank you. Any others? Songs of Solomon, which is a romantic, kind of racy kind of part of the Bible, I think. But yes, a good read. Anything else? Songs of David, yes, mainly recorded in the Psalms. Yes, again, recorded in the Psalms, the River of Babylon. Deborah's song, which again, when she was able to step into the role that God called her as leader in a time when the men were absent. I'm not saying that with any shade, of course. Yes, this lady who's got her hand up. Yes, another psalm, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I thought about in Matthew, there's reference to the hymns that the disciples sang when they during the Lord's Supper as they worshipped. Okay, so songs throughout the Scriptures. Now, in the 80s, when gospel music really started to spread, the Winans wrote a song. Who knows who the Winans are? There's a few people. So for those who don't know, in the era of the 80s, Andre Crouch introduced this family of brothers who, at that stage it was just the brothers singing. They formed a group, and then we got to hear about BB and CC Winans, but that was later. And this group of brothers wrote this song. And I don't think I can sing it, so I'm going to read it. Everything you touch is a song, referring to God and his works. I think that a song should be something more than a beautiful melody, to tell the story of truth and reality. I think that a song should be sung by a man who knows the meaning of sorrow and the meaning of true love. I think that a song should be shared amongst friends. And when friends are gone, its melody and meaning still lingers on. Tells of the good times, tells of the bad, tells when we're happy, and tells when we're sad. Song seems to have a greater meaning when we understand why the person wrote the song. It helps us to connect with them, with their situation, and relate it to ours. A song we sing a lot here at church, "It Is Well With My Soul," takes on greater meaning and significance when we realize that the person who wrote it lost their entire family in a tragic sea accident. And for that person, rather than being bitter and blaming God, they chose to write, "It is well with my soul." And as we sing that often here at PHBC, I believe it reminds us that God is with us, even in our darkest, darkest valleys. Another song, "Blessed Assurance," that talks about visions of rapture bursting on our sight, was written by Fanny Crosby, who was blind from birth. She said in an interview, if she could choose to, she would still choose blindness. For when I die, the first face I will ever see is that of my blessed Savior. Takes on a different meaning, doesn't it? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That is someone who is assured in the saving power of her Lord and confident in the hope that she will have a new body and see him one day. Is that our hope? Yes. Amen. That is our hope too. "Heart of Worship" by Matt Redman, coming into the kind of 21st century, was written after a period when his local church found themselves carried away in the acts of worship. It had become more about worshiping the songs, singing them well, and having the band all together, rather than focusing on God and worshiping him. They were challenged for 3 years, 3 years, to strip back all the things that we can use to hide from actual true worship. The singing, the music, the great feelings of being together. Tools for worship, which are important and are not wrong in themselves, but we can put them in their wrong place. And in the song, as the 3 years comes to an end, in the song he writes, "I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship." So we've explored a little bit about what is a song. So let's go to our theme today, my reason for singing. When we think about singing generally, there is a recognition that singing does something for our body, our soul, and our mind. In the last 20 years or so, we've seen the rise of community choirs and choirs in the workplace, because singing has many benefits, and some of them surprised me as I looked into this. Socially, singing fosters a sense of community and belonging and bridges cultural barriers. Physically, singing strengthens our immune system, improves our breathing, lowers our blood pressure, enhances our cardiovascular function, improves our posture, and reduces muscle tension. Mentally and emotionally, not when I'm up there though, mentally and emotionally, it releases endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine in our bodies, which improves our mood, reduces stress and anxiety. It lowers the release of cortisol, that stress hormone that makes us want to run away, and promotes relaxation. It helps our memory in terms of learning words and melodies and boosts our confidence. Through the years of being in church and as a worship deacon, I have the privilege, and I choose to call it a privilege, of hearing people's opinions about worship and singing. And these are some of the things I've heard.
My voice is not too good, you know.
What's the point? What's the point of singing? It's just a time filler. Let's get to the word. Singing is soppy. It's too romantic and mamby-pamby. It's too loud. It's too quiet. It's not the right style, or it's not my style. There are the secret singers, those who will only sing in the shower or when they think no one is listening. There are those who make a joyful noise unto the Lord, those who just take you to the throne of God when they open their mouths, and those who just don't like singing or don't see the need to sing. So, in the words of Kirk Franklin, someone asked the question, why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering, when we sing our songs, at times we may be crying, when nothing's even wrong. Okay. Just as the Bible is full of songs, it is loaded with the instruction to sing. Our singing is more than padding out the order of service in corporate worship or giving us a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. It is more than whether we think we have a good voice for singing or we like the style of the songs or its lyrics. Psalms 47, verse 6 and 7 in the Amplified Version says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises in a skillful psalm and with understanding. It is equally important to have Holy Spirit-inspired songs as it is to sing with understanding of who we are singing about and who we are singing to. Particularly as we sing, we are witnesses testifying about who we are singing about. And I'm sure there are many reasons why we sing as Christians. Today I'd like to just focus on three of those. And the first one is a response to what God has done for us. David declares in Psalms 118, verse 14, the Lord is my reason for singing. Once again, reminding us that it's personal. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my reason for singing. We sing to him as a response to our experience of him. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord. Here are a few reasons why we sing. He is triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sovereign Lord, creator of the universe, the one who sits high and looks low, the one who made me a little lower than the angels and crowned me with glory and honor, and he does the same for you. The one who remembers that we are dust, the one who forgives all our sins and heals all of our diseases, the one who was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, opened not his mouth, the one who bore my sin, our sin in his body, the one who was broken for me, broken for you, the one who overcame death and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the one who sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be an ever-present help, teacher, counselor, sustainer, burden bearer, Waymaker, the anchor of our souls, the living water, the bread of life, the one who exchanged my ashes for his beauty, the one who said, come to me and I will give you rest, the one who sets us in families and spiritual families because he knows we can't do this journey alone, the one who covers us with his feathers and sends his angels to watch over us. Yes, we can observe these in other people's lives, and we see evidence of his love, his mercy, and his grace in ours. It is a reason for us to sing. Amen. The second reason that we sing, it's a means of encouraging one another. Singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord in private is essential. God promises that when we seek him in secret or in private, he will reward us openly. In that secret place, it is there he reveals who he is and ignites the move of his spirit within us. It is in this revelation that we bring our corporate worship. Singing together in corporate worship nurtures a sense of community, the community of believers, a sense of belonging and brotherhood, a sense of family, a united declaration of truth and beliefs, strengthening us as individuals in our faith and collectively in our purpose as church. Paul encourages the church in an exhortation to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 to 20. And I read from the Easy Read version. So be very careful how you live. Live wisely, not like fools. I mean that you should use every opportunity you have for doing good, because these are evil times. So don't be foolish with your lives, but learn what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit. Encourage each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we just think about verse 19, which says, encourage each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. And I thought to myself, is there a difference between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? And when I looked at it, some of the theologians said, nah, you can interchange it, that's fine. But I came across this interpretation, and I thought it was really helpful, and I'd like to share it with you, because I think it's also helpful for us sometimes to benchmark or evaluate the songs that we sing against what the scripture is saying. So are the songs we sing Holy Spirit inspired? Now, a psalm, this person said, is a scripture set to music, and we see that. We sang that today. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. Okay. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Amen. And someone else quoted this psalm earlier. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Amen. And hymns. Hymns are theology set to music. So songs like, I cannot tell why he who angels were a ship. And I can't remember the rest of it, so I'm not going to sing it. Keep going, Pastor Deji. I know not how or where. But the second half of the song says, but this I know. Okay. Lesson for me, write the words down. Okay. Young people, if you're in the room, you might want to help me with this one. Oh, Mama. Oh. Oh, Mama. The 99, always for the one. Mama. Always on time, you can do no wrong. Oh, Mama, leave the 99 always for the one. Amen. So hymns, modern and I was going to say ancient, but not quite ancient. Okay, spiritual songs, testimonies set to music. And I won't be silent, I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship. That wasn't the one I was supposed to sing. Yeah, and I can't remember it. The tune's gone from my head. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. Why should I keep it inside? It's gone out of my head. That's it. Hey, it's the Lord on my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. Why should I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. Why should I keep it inside? Amen. Well, I'm not going to start the next one then, because you're not going to start, which is Waymaker, Miracle Worker, another one that we love to sing here.
That is who you are.
You are still Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God. That is who you are. Amen. So use that as your benchmark as you think about songs that we sing. It can overlap, but is it a psalm? Is it a hymn? Is it a spiritual song? Now, I'd like to bring us back to the second definition that I quoted earlier. The musical phrase uttered by some birds, whales, and insects, typically forming a recognizable and repeated sequence and used chiefly for territorial defense or for attracting a mate. The bridge of the Wine and Songs I quoted first, everything you touch is a song. The second, the bridge of that says, you touched a bird and that's a song. And the bird started to tweet. You went in the jungle and you touched a lion and that lion started to roar. I don't know if bells was around at creation, but you touched a bell and that's a song. The bell started to ring. If you listen real close, everything in nature sings. But the reference to territorial defense caught my attention. Old Testament scripture has many examples of God instructing Israel to sing as they go into battle. That idea of territorial defense, declaring that that God is our defense and that he is fighting, will fight on our behalf, that we stand together in him. There is no need for retreat. There is strength in our unity. So we sing songs like, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down, faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. Okay. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved, for the Lord is beside us. In him we cannot lose. I'm going to skip. Though the night may seem weary, joy is coming in the morning. All praise to King Jesus. I know joy is coming. Joy is coming. Amen. So the night may seem weary for us sometimes, but hold on, because joy is coming in the morning. I give God thanks for those he has gifted to write songs and melodies. We experience God's power, strength, and love as we sing his word back to him. He replaces our anxieties with his peace. He reveals truth about himself, which anchors our faith in him. He draws us closer and changes our perspective. He translates us into his throne room, where we become more like him. And I ask the question, why wouldn't you want to sing? I encourage you, as Paul does, be filled with the Spirit and sing. So the third reason why we sing, God is enthroned in our praise. And Psalms 22 verse 3 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. We often enthrone our God through singing songs like, Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you are King. Standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up with our praise. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, come take your place. Amen. God dwells in our praise. His authority and sovereignty is established in our lives through our praise. If you want to give God room to work in your life, if you want him to come and take control, to establish his throne, then praise him. Make melody in your heart to him. It really isn't about the quality of your voice or about the words you say. It's about the posture of your heart, a heart that is yielded to him in full surrender, praising and thanking him for who he is and his marvelous works. And it makes me think of days gone by. Sounds really terrible. Days gone by when we'd have conventions, we would call large gatherings of people. People would practice their songs and they'd have it all together and the choirs were amazing. And then as the Spirit of the Lord would move, there'd be someone who doesn't usually sing, perhaps a little old lady coming to give her testimony. And she would just bring the presence of the Lord. Was it because of the quality of their voice? No. It was about what was going in their heart and their relationship with God. So my encouragement to you is, not having a great voice is not a reason not to sing. I think it's minus percentages of people who really can't sing. I've met a few, not here, I have met a few who really can't sing, but that's not that many people. That's not that many people. So if the Lord has given you breath, if he's given you intellect, if he's given you an experience of his love, then I encourage you to sing. Corporate singing, we as a congregation have experienced this so many times here at PHBC that as we lift our praise to God in sincerity of heart, he comes and he dwells with us. Corporate singing, when we gather together for worship, to worship our God, gives room for him to build his throne, for him to come and dwell with us, his people. Our singing in praise and worship is a response to what God has done, enables us to encourage each other, and gives room for our God to have his way amongst us. And the final thought I want to draw your attention to today is that all that we do is a response to what God has done for us. We love him because he loved us first. He calls us and we respond to his call. He is my song because he first sang over me. And in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, I'm going to read two translations. The first one is from the New Living Translation, and it says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." But I like the Living Bible translation. It says this, "For the Lord your God has arrived to live among you. He is here. He is a mighty Savior. He will give you victory. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you." Is that a joyous choir I hear? No. It is the Lord himself exulting over you in happy song. God sings over us, church. In our times of challenge, in our times of difficulty, he is singing over us. When we're overjoyed and it seems like everything is right with the world, he is still singing over us. God singing over us is a powerful reminder of his love, his joy, and his active presence in our lives. As he sings, he offers comfort and assurance, both in times of difficulty and joy alike. God is my reason for singing. I sing in response to what he has done for me. I sing to encourage my brothers and my sisters, and I sing because my God is enthroned and established in my life as I sing his praise. And I'm able to sing because he first sang over me.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.